I'm going to share something different this morning than I had planned, just because I feel like it's on the heart of God. So there's no PowerPoint for this, actually, so you can even go ahead and turn that off. And I got an email from one of my brothers this past week, just forwarding a YouTube video to me. And this is, my brothers are quite observant, okay? So they don't drive on Shabbat, they don't mix milk and meat. They're pretty observant Jewish guys. And, they pray through the liturgy every day, right? They do the morning prayers. My brother sent me an email about Nicky Cruz. You know who he is? Yes, some of you do. Okay. Nicky Cruz came to faith in David Wilkerson's ministry. Okay. And he was what, Connor, you remember reading about him? Wake that boy up. He worked till like midnight last night. So, Nicky Cruz was a gang leader. And he's given his testimony on on YouTube, and David Wilkerson is leading this revival, this teaching, telling people about the love of the Lord, and Nicky Cruz threatens him. This is not your area, okay? I'm paraphrasing. This is gang territory, right? This is not a church. This is gang territory. This is not your space. And if you come out here and you do that kind of stuff, who knows, I might kill you. I might kill you, right? And so he says to his gang, we're leaving here. You want a good time? I'm going to show you a good time. We're going to go down into the basement, and we're going to do drugs and have sex and all kinds of good stuff. And they go down into that basement, and they're doing their stuff. And who walks in but David Wilkerson, right? He walks, and look, guys, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, right? And I'm fearful that we get wrapped up too much in. It's not always an easy book to understand. Not always an easy book to. But I'm trying to bring out in the book of Hebrews the greatness of our God, so that we can show the kind of love that David Wilkerson showed after being threatened with his life. He shows up in the gang's basement in New York City to give a message. And Nicky Cruz is like, what are you doing here? And he beats him. And he's and Dave, put that back in. David is, he's bloody, right? And Nicky turns away from him, and David says to him, I have a message for you. Jesus loves you, right? Jesus, this gang member who just threatened his life, just beat him up, Jesus loves you, right? And if we cannot go through the book of Hebrews and come out with that simple message, that God loves us and God showed his love for us in Messiah, then we might as well not do any of the Bible. That's what it's, if you can't come to that simple point, right? It's a complicated book, I understand that. But the point is so simple, right? He is your high priest. What does that mean? It means God loves you enough to make intercession for you that you can come before him, right? He is the expression of God. Let's grab me a Bible from there, please. Let's quickly go back through Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. What is the main message there? We may not know. Okay, I spent a week on it. You may not know. That's okay. If I sat in and I hadn't studied Hebrews in depth and somebody gave me a message on Hebrews 1 and asked me a couple months later, what's Hebrews 1 about? I may not know. What do we have to do to change it so that we know? You take notes. You go home. You listen to the sermon again. You read it. You interact with it. You find a way for the message Just bring me the Bible, darling. I got it. Thank you. You've got to interact with it so that in the end, you can walk away with the message that Yeshua loves you. Okay? And part of our message recently has been to particular to the Messianic movement. And what is that particular thing? Look, the Messianic movement, I love it. I wouldn't be a Messianic rabbi if I didn't love it. It's got a calling, it's got a purpose that this world needs to hear. Okay? The church, I understand, has forgotten its Jewish rootedness, and power will be restored to the church when it understands that. But at the same time, there are people in the Messianic movement who the whole idea of Jesus loves you will fall on deaf ears because I said the word Jesus instead of Yeshua. That's ridiculous. All right? If you agree with that, say it with me. That's ridiculous. Right? It's ridiculous. God loves you, and you're going to worry about somebody saying Jesus instead of Yeshua. Should we say Yeshua? I like Yeshua. That's probably what he was called. Maybe he was called Yehoshua, Yeshua, but gives it its Jewish context. But man, the power of that message going to that gang, and you're going to stand there and say to David Wilkerson, well, you shouldn't say Jesus. You should, no. Let the power of the message go forth because people need to hear it. And we need to hear it. Hebrews 1. What is Hebrews 1 about? With all this complicated usage of Old Testament passages and different things, what is it that you've heard from the very Son of God, the angel of the Lord that we read about in today's Torah portion, where God says, my name dwells in him. That's who you've heard from. Right? And you need to be in awe of that. We've heard from the Lord. I like that word awe, okay? And unfortunately, it's been diluted and watered down because the surfer dudes picked up on it, right? And everything's awesome all of a sudden. Did you see that wave, man? It was awesome. It's not awesome. God is awesome, right? So we need to reclaim that word, awe. We need to be in awe of the Lord that he spoke to us through his Son. What is the point of chapter 2 of Hebrews, that this very Son of God came down to be made like us, called us his brothers, that he could restore humanity to God. Yeshua loves you, right? Chapter 1, he spoke to us, not through prophets anymore, not through angels anymore, but through the very Son of God. God himself, revealed in flesh, spoke to you. What's the message there? Yeshua loves you. Chapter 2, he became like us so that he could restore humanity to God. That's it in a nutshell, right? What does that say to us? Yeshua loves you. Yeshua loves me. That's our message we got to give out. Get out. Yeshua loves you, right? What's the point of chapter 3? Don't go astray. Like they did, right, in the desert. Don't go astray. That's, you know, in the desert, what was the point? What was the point in the desert? Why 40 years in the desert? Why not just take us to the promised land? Why not just give us what we need? Because the Lord wanted you to learn that you don't live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You're seeking your bread instead of seeking me. And that's the same message for today. Be careful that you don't fail to enter into the rest because you're seeking bread instead of seeking the bread of life. Right? Yeshua loves you. Right? Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about this. See how God takes care of the birds. Don't worry about that. See how God takes care of the flowers. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. All those other things will be taken care of. Yeshua loves you. Don't fall away. Cease from your own works. Enter in to his. Okay? Don't harden your heart. Chapter 4. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, he is the great high priest. He is the great high priest, right? He makes intercession for you. We need to interact with the main message so that we come out with a full understanding and a full all in the idea that Yeshua loves us. Okay, Yeshua loves you, little bumper sticker. Jesus loves you, little smiley face. Hebrews is saying you don't understand the power of that until you understand that he is your high priest. He died for you. He spoke to you, right? These things are vital. I'm going to go now to a passage in Matthew. You have to forgive me. I'm winging it a little bit this morning just because I feel something different on my heart than what I put together. I would like for us to understand Yeshua's words. Okay, so I'm gonna go over some portions I talked about at the service last night. Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 21. Now Yeshua left from there and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that district came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, O Master, Son of David, Ben David. My daughter is severely tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And when his disciples came, they were urging him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he responded, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So she came down on her knees before him, saying, "Master, help me." And answering, said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Master, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then answering, Yeshua said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed in that very hour. I've heard many teachings on this, and probably as many wrong ones as right ones. And sometimes even Gentiles teach on this, and they talk about, you know, Yeshua's calling the Gentiles dogs. And they think it's very humble of them to say, "Well, okay, so he came for the lost sheep of the house. We'll take the crumbs," okay? Very, very humble, right? But I don't think that's the point here. I don't think that's the point. Yeshua loves the Gentiles, right? And we know that from other passages, right? We know that from John chapter 10, where Yeshua says, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. There are sheep not of this fold, i.e. non-Jews, that I also need to bring in so you all can be one. I'm laying my life down not for just the Jewish people, but for everybody, right? My sheep all over the planet, that they might come in and you might be one." He loves the Gentiles, right? Yeshua loves you, right? The end of Matthew, we're to go and make disciples of what? All nations, right? All nations. Baptizing them, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yeshua wants the Gentiles as well. Why does he say here, "I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel"? Well, some people say, well, it's a time period thing. It's first to Israel, then to the other nations. Well, maybe, but then you still have the idea of him calling them dogs. Does he really think Gentiles are dogs? We've got to look at the clues in the passage. You have to look at the clues in the passage. First of all, Yeshua ignores this woman until when? Until the disciples complain about her. What does that tell you? That tells you there's a message in here for the disciples. He doesn't say anything to her until the disciples complain. And what do the disciples do? Do the disciples say, "Yeshua, don't you see this poor woman? She needs your blessing. Will you bless her?" No, she's bothering us, right? She's bothering us. Tell her to go away. She's bothering us. Ah, okay, now's my opportunity to teach you a lesson. Now that you've revealed what's in your heart, I'm going to reveal even more what's in your heart. You think she's a dog, don't you? You think she's a Gentile dog. You think I'm sent only to Israel, don't you? And so he reveals what's on their heart. And if Yeshua agreed with them, he wouldn't have commended her for her faith, and he wouldn't have healed her daughter. He's saying she is worthy of having her daughter healed. And I, you know what? Who's righteous in this situation, guys? It's not you. It's not you. It's her. This one that you said, send away because she is bothering me. Us Jewish people following the great rabbi. I wonder who's going to sit on the right and on the left in his kingdom. Can't wait to find out. I wonder what my throne will be made of anyway. Maybe silk, maybe gold, right? And I bet I'm the one on his right? He really seems to love me. And anyway, she's getting in the way. She's not even Jewish. You cannot have that kind of attitude and have the power of Yeshua loves you that'll change the gang leader into somebody crying over the love that God showed him. You can't do it with that kind of power if you're thinking about those things. That's the message here. You can't stop halfway through. Yeshua thinks they're dogs. No, you go all the way through to where he heals their daughter, her daughter. And you go all the way through to where Yeshua says she's great of faith. And then you go after that, verse 29 and the following. And we don't understand this because we're 2,000 years later. But according to the geography of what's going on there in 29 and following, and according to some of the wording, Yeshua is feeding Gentiles there. Okay, how do we know this? First of all, this is the second time that Yeshua in Matthew has fed thousands of people with a little bit of food, right? Just a little bit. He feeds many. You did this for the Jews. Now you're doing this for, again, why does he talk about a second time? Well, that part of the Galilee he was in was predominantly Gentile. We know that from archaeology. And also it says, and they praise the God of Israel. After they had received, you don't say that when you're in Israel amongst Israelites, they praise the God of Israel. You just say they praise God, right? So there's little clues here that he's using this woman to teach the disciples compassion for everybody. And then he goes and feeds the everybody, and he has the disciples feeding Gentiles. This is your call, folks, to feed people what you have received from the Lord. This passage is not about Jews are better than Gentiles, Gentiles just get the leftovers, whatever it might be. This is about Yeshua loves everybody. And this is about you. Don't set yourself up, oh, I know his name's Yeshua, not Jesus. Oh, I know which day Shabbat is really on. I know this, I know. It's not about that. Do you have the love of God in you so that even if somebody threatens you with death, you follow them down to the basement? And even after they beat you up and they're walking away, he said, I have a message for you. The message is Yeshua loves you, right? That's the power. That's the power. And we will get that power as we're going through Hebrews if you are truly hungry and thirsty for it. If you don't get caught up in the details and the rabbi trying to explain why this verse is there and that verse is there, if you really listen, especially to the end of the sermons where I wrap it all up and say, this is what it's saying, then you will understand the power and Yeshua loves you, Jesus loves you, won't just be a smarmy bumper sticker with a smiley face. It'll be something that causes you to go down into the basement, chase down that gang member and say, Yeshua loves you. Because you'll understand the love that you were shown. And this is what we need. I'm going to go on to another passage here. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8. After 6 days, Yeshua takes with him Peter and Jacob and John, his brother, and brings them up on a high mountain by themselves. Right? We know the story. Now he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Yeshua. Peter responded to Yeshua, Master, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 sukkot, 3 dwelling places, 3 booths. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from out of the cloud said, This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell down terrified. But Yeshua came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Stop being afraid." And lifting their eyes, they saw no one except Yeshua alone. I've heard many sermons about this, right? And some are great, and some miss it because they stop and they make a point out of something halfway through. Okay, just this week, I read somebody's post where they said, "Well, I think the point here is balance. Here's Yeshua, and who's he with? He's with Moses, which represents Torah, and he's with Elijah, that represents an anointed prophet. He represents the Spirit. We need to have a balanced life between Torah and Spirit." That's a good message, but that's not what this is teaching. You have to read it through to the end. They're all glorified. And then the cloud rolls over. And the cloud doesn't say, "This is Moses. Make sure you remember everything about Moses." Doesn't say, "This is Elijah." He says, "This is my son." He points out Yeshua alone in the midst of Moses and Elijah. And you have to point out Yeshua alone. I'm not saying don't read the Torah. Read the Torah. Read the Torah and see how it points to Yeshua. Read the prophets and see how it points to Yeshua. Because it's valueless if we don't understand in the Messianic age how it points us to Yeshua. "This is my beloved son." You have an idea. A lot of the Gospels is about how the apostles didn't get it. A lot of the Gospel is about how the apostles didn't get it, and you and I wouldn't get it either if we had their background. Because it's so new, it's so different. Who's the Messiah going to be? The Messiah is going to be a great political leader, maybe a great rabbi, maybe a great prophet. There's something new. This is the angel of the Lord. This is God made manifest. And when I say the angel of the Lord, I'm not relegating him to an angel. He's not that kind of angel, but the angel of the Lord, all capital letters, that is the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, described in Genesis and in the Torah and in Judges as well. This is God with us. Now as the great king, you're not getting it. Okay, Peter, James, John, you're not getting it. You think he's another Moses, maybe. You think he's another Elijah, maybe. I'm going to come down, and in the midst of all three of them, I'm going to tell you who's my son. Who's my son? This one's my son. Let's make three tabernacles. Let's make three Sukkot, because I want them here with me. I want Moses to stay with me. I want Elijah, and yes, you too, Yeshua. We'll make one for you, because I want to lend some kind of housing for you guys. Don't go. And they lift up their eyes. And how does the passage end? No one was with them anymore but Yeshua alone. But Yeshua alone. And so we've got to interact with this. Is Yeshua alone your focus and your life? So that when you say Yeshua loves you, it's not just another man loves you, isn't that nice? He loves you. No, the one that God says, "This is my beloved son." Out of all on the earth, all in the heavens, before, after, during, "This is my beloved son." And he loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you. And so your message is Yeshua loves you, Nikki Cruz. Right? Gang member. Whoever. Yeshua loves you. Yeshua alone. Focus on that. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. "Now behold," this will be the last portion, I believe, that we'll go through. "Now behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good shall I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Yeshua said to him, 'There's only one who is good. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" And I've heard teachings on this. Ah, see, we do have to keep the commandments to have eternal life. Yeshua said so right there. He said so right there. That's what he said. I'm going to take him literally. I have to keep the commandments to have eternal life. You didn't follow it through to the end. You have to follow it through to the end. Which ones? He said. Yeshua said, oh, you know, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I've kept, the young man said to him. What do I still lack? Yeshua said to him, if you wish to be perfect, go sell what you own and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the young man heard the statement, he went away grieving, for he had much property. We cannot have in our mind that the kingdom of God is a matter of keeping a list. Okay? And some of us have those lists and don't even realize it. Right? Well, at least my list is a good list, right? Love God, check. Love other people, check. Honor the Sabbath, check. Don't murder anybody, check, check. You know, and so we have our list of things to do. Yeshua is saying to this man, you're coming to me with a list. Let me destroy that list. Am I saying don't keep the commandments? Of course not. Okay, if you end up on the defendant stand because you did something terrible, please don't blame me and say, well, Rabbi Josh said I don't need a list. That's not what I'm saying. Do good stuff, right? Don't do bad stuff, of course. I mean, that's common sense, but that's not what it's about. I visited somebody in the hospital recently who thinks she was a Jehovah's Witness. She went to the Jehovah's Witness church because her family did. She's a Jewish lady, but her daughter got mixed up with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so she went there, so I kind of liked what they taught. And so I went to the hospital room, and she was unfortunately incoherent, but her daughter was there, her daughter's husband was there, all these people from the Jehovah's Witnesses church was there. And forgive me, I don't want to sound judgmental. There's a plasticity. Have you noticed? There's something not quite, there's something under the surface not allowed out when you meet people who are really wrapped up in Jehovah's Witness teaching. Does anybody else notice that? Yes. There's a plasticity there. There's like not a realness there because their whole life is a checklist. Gotta believe this. Gotta believe that. Gotta do this. Gotta do that. Okay? Well, I've seen it in others as well. Okay? I've seen it in I've seen it in a dispensationalist. Okay? What's a dispensationalist? They've got everything figured out. You know, Darby, Schofield, those guys. I'm not saying that you can't be a dispensationalist and be a true believer. You can, absolutely. But some of them, they get so wrapped up in the math. There's going to be 7 years of suffering for the Jewish people. Before that time, the church is going to be whisked away to heaven. The Antichrist is going to come 3.5 years through. He's going to come and do this and that. They get wrapped up sometimes in their calendar. And in their math, sometimes. There are some very genuine, true, believing dispensationalists. I'm not one for many reasons. But, you know, I can lovingly talk to them as brothers. But sometimes we get wrapped up in our theological scheme so much that it becomes a math equation. That faith becomes a math equation. And I blame the influence of the Greeks and their Greek philosophy on our Jewish understanding of Scripture. Okay? Let me give an example, like I gave last night. The Greek understanding of a bath. I believe in the bath. There's the tub, and there's the water. And the water is made up of two hydrogens for every oxygen. and the water is at 75 degrees Fahrenheit, I believe in the bath. I understand the bath. I am a bath believer. I believe in baths. Okay, that's a Greek mindset. The Jewish mindset is you get in the bath and you clean your body, right? So that when Yeshua says, whoever believes in me will have eternal life, and you approach that with this Greek mindset, well, I do believe. I believe that he was born in Bethlehem according to the prophet Micah. Check. I do believe. Okay, there is evidence he rose from the dead. Check. Okay? I do believe. I do believe. Check. I do believe. Check. I do believe. Check. Have you entered in, though? James blows it all out of the water when he says, even the demons believe and tremble. Believing's not good enough if you're going to approach that believing from a Greek mindset. But if you approach the believing from the Jewish mindset, where when you say, I believe, you enter in and you experience and it becomes your life, then you got it. And this young man here in Matthew, that's what he needed. Right? Yeshua is saying in Matthew 19, get rid of the checklist for a moment. What do I have to do? Add to my list, Yeshua, add to my list. And if we say, well, giving to the poor, selling yourself and giving to the poor, that's another checklist item. We're missing it. Okay, got it, got it. Got to honor my father and mother. I got to not murder. Got it, got to do this. All these things I've done. What else? Sell my stuff and give to the poor. Okay, that's a tough one, but okay, I got it. Let me add it to my list and do it. Or can we understand what Yeshua is really saying? Eternal life is not in your checklist. Eternal life is in immersing yourself in me. Follow me. Understand my love for you. And then when you say to the Nikki Cruises, and you say to the people on your corner and to your next door neighbor and your coworkers, Yeshua loves you, you will have a power behind that because you will understand the depth of that power. That it's not just he loves me, and that's one of my checklist items, that I have to make sure that I believe he loves me. Okay? It's not that. It's not that. Okay? It is immersing yourself in his love. When we read in Hebrews and talks about Yeshua as the high priest, this is not a mathematical equation. Oh, okay, we need a high priest. He's the high priest. Modern day Judaism doesn't have it. We've got it. Have you immersed yourself in the reality of him being your high priest? Of him saying, I am cleaning you off so you can enter into the presence of the glory of the Lord. You've got to enter in. I've got to enter in. I cannot just approach it with a checklist. And you know what? It changes your life. It changes every breath. It changes everything. Okay? Foreign from the Jewish mindset is monasticism. Do you know what monasticism is? Monasticism is the monastery lifestyle. Don't touch, don't handle, don't eat, don't partake of that. Okay? Well, you're married. I guess we have to, I guess, you've got the drive and we need kids. I guess sex will allow it, but really it's not the ideal thing. Some Christians teach that. Sex is a good thing in marriage, right? Eating good food. In Judaism, if there's a nice cluster of grapes in front of you, and you say, oh, I'm not going to touch that. I'm too righteous today. That's a sin in Judaism. You partake, you enjoy, you love. And you understand that it comes to you from God above, right? You enjoy life. Some people have such a lengthy to-do list and adult to-do list to follow God. They won't. I'm not going to watch TV. I'm just going to read my Bible. Okay, read your Bible. Great. Read your Bible. But, you know, it's not a sin to watch TV. It's a sin to watch some TV. You got to watch what you watch, right? But God will indwell your life whether you're at a baseball game or you're at synagogue, right? God will indwell your life, whether you're fasting or you're eating a feast. Let God indwell your life. He is your high priest. He is your savior. He's your redeemer. He's your king. He is our life. And Moses fades into the background. And Elijah fades into the background. And Yeshua alone is there. And Yeshua alone is there, right? And you understand that the person bothering you, they're not a Gentile dog. But you have the compassion of the Lord for her. Yeshua, will you heal her? Yes, maybe she talks too much. But Yeshua, heal this person. Yes, maybe they wronged me. I forgive them. Heal them, because the love of Messiah is in you. The love, and we get rid of our to-do list, right? Not that we, like I said earlier, not that we start doing bad stuff and stop doing good stuff, but we stop seeing that as our method of life, and instead we immerse ourselves in the love of the Lord so we can go to the Nikki Cruises, and we can go to the neighbors, and we can go to the coworkers, we can go to our family, and we can say with power, because we're experiencing it, Yeshua loves you. Lord God Almighty, we want to experience the fullness of the love of Yeshua. We want to immerse ourselves in the love of Messiah. We want to understand the love that was shown because you are our high priest. We want to understand the love that you showed because you took your sins on our back, on your back, Lord. And we want to understand the power of the resurrection. We want to understand what it means that God himself speaks to us. We want to understand the indwelling of the Spirit. And we don't want to understand it in the Greek mindset that cuts and divides and says, well, this is this and that's that. And we measure this and that, and we measure that and that. No, we just want to dive in. We just want to dive into the love of the Lord so we can follow the gang member into the basement with a powerful message that we ourselves have fully experienced. Yeshua loved me. Look at the sinner I was. I lied, I cheated, I stole, I sinned. I murdered. Maybe I didn't murder with a knife, but I murdered with my lips. And Yeshua forgave me, and I've experienced the fullness of his love. And so now I say to you, with all the power of understanding the message to the best of my ability and dwelling in the message of God, I say to you, with all the power of the resurrected Messiah, Yeshua loves you. And it's in his name we all say.